We're going to introduce Trevor to you. All right, we're delighted to have Trevor with us, and Fee is going to pray for him as he comes to share with us. Trevor, welcome.
Yeah, Lord God, thank you so much for bringing Trevor to us today and for giving him your word to give to all of us this morning. I just pray that over this next half hour, your peace is upon us and that we are just able to clear our minds of everything that else is going on in our lives right now so that we can really hear your words from that you have given Trevor today to share with us and that we can work out how we're going to interpret that and use it as we move forward in our weeks, Lord Jesus. Yeah, amen.
Well, it's great to be with you. What Matt didn't tell you, he has a very, very good skill of when I'm not looking, my plate suddenly fills up with all the meat that he doesn't want to eat. He's very, very good at it. But we've had so much fun and a privilege of traveling to all kinds of different places. And it is really, really good. And it's good to be with you. I've been a few times now to Welton. And it's great to get to know people, at least remember a lot of faces. Today, it's Christmas. Welcome to December. In the church that I'm part of in Belfast, if you don't understand me, ask Matt and he can do subtitles or interpret. We always have a starter question. And today, my starter question is, how many of you have had your Christmas decorations up for a few weeks already? Anyone? How many have had them up a few months? How many have had them up still from last year? You just didn't bother taking them down. So it is Christmas. It's now December. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story. What am I talking about? The king or queen is the first to be told. Then the family are informed. And then a note is displayed outside Buckingham Palace. I can't believe I'm talking about this. Please don't tell anybody in Ireland I'm talking about it. But a note is displayed at Buckingham Palace or on the gates. What am I talking about? A royal birth. And that's what happens when somebody in the royal family is born. And I kind of wonder how many people were invited then to see Charles Windsor or any of the royal families. The princes and so on, when they were born. Can you imagine the people behind the scene trying to work out who we have to invite, what order they have to come in, who's the most important, and all the rest of it? Well, I found out something very interesting, that from 1894 until it was abolished in 1948, the Home Secretary was required to be present or nearby to the birth of a potential heir to the throne, to verify the legitimacy of the baby and prevent any imposter. So imagine, how many of you have had kids? Which of these home secretaries would you like to have been present at the birth of your child, in the room or in the room beside you? Who were the first people to visit you in hospital when you had a baby or if you had a child at home? Our children were born in Cyprus and then two in Egypt. And in Egypt, 7 days after Michael was born, we had a thing called a sabua, which means week. And after 7 days, you invite lots of people and you do lots of different interesting customs. And some of them were quite bizarre. But we took a lot of them, the ones that we could, and we just invented some of our own. And I remember thinking, we just invited the people we knew. But as a foreigner in somewhere like Egypt, you end up mixing with a whole range of people that you might not meet with here. So, for example, in Egypt, we had the privilege of meeting the Irish president, but we also had, got to know people who were just people who were illiterate or people who were on the streets or all and everything in between. So we invited a whole mix of people to our home, and I could see the Egyptians coming in. Somebody was high up in a newspaper, somebody else was a cleaner, and somebody else was a tailor and they couldn't read or write. And they kind of looked at each other and thought, should we be in the same room at the same time? But it was a lovely way of just inviting people in, friends together, for the birth of a baby. And today I'm thinking about, why did Jesus come as a baby? And who were the guests? And it's interesting because, we're thinking about a baby, we're thinking about God coming as a vulnerable human, and then the shepherds, and then the astrologers, or sometimes they're called magi. Some people call them wise men. We never celebrate that part of the Christmas story in Ireland because we don't really have any. So, at least that's what Matt tells me. But why a baby? Why did Jesus come as a baby? And we see in John, it says the Word became a human being. The Word became flesh. He made his home with us. We've seen his glory. It's the glory of the one and only child, or the one and only who came from the Father, and the Word is full of grace and truth. And I kind of thought, well, why come as a baby? Could Jesus not have come as a fully fledged human? Could he not have come as a king? He could have come as a lion. He could have come as a ruler. He could have come in all kinds of different ways. But he came as a baby. And I began to try and reason out why that would be. And I thought, well, isn't it great that he came as a human, living in a body, showing us that he understands what it's like, resisting sin. He was a refugee. He used power in a very different way. He showed us how we're supposed to live on earth. And, you know, in many other religions, God is very, very far away and to be feared. But what we have is God coming to us in a way that we can really understand. And it is beautiful. But as I was thinking about all of this, I just felt God smiling and saying, don't even think that. Don't even think that. What if it's just because we wanted to? What if we just wanted to? And then I began to think of some of the other things, not just Jesus coming as a baby, but why was Jesus baptized? I mean, baptism, you had a great one last week. People showing that they've repented from something and they're turning to God. But Jesus didn't need to do that. Why, Jesus, do that? And why be crucified on a cross? I'm sure God could have thought of a different way of getting rid of sin and overcoming death without a gory cross. And I just again felt God saying, but what if we wanted to? What if that is what is going to help people? And we were willing to do it. Accept the vulnerability. Accept setting an example. Accept a painful death. And so it's just beautiful. And I thought, oh, there's a mystery there. Maybe we can't understand why God came as a baby, but what a beautiful thing it is. And let's embrace that. Let's celebrate it even without understanding. So that's a baby. Just one side thing. Sometimes I meet people, especially from a Muslim background, and think, but you're making a man God. And that's totally wrong. That would be awful. But what if God becomes a man? If God is powerful and can do anything, if he wants to become a baby and a human, isn't that beautiful? Who are we to disagree and say that's wrong? And then you've got all the people who were invited. And here's a list of just people from the Jewish background who could have been invited to the birth of Jesus. All the high people, all the people who are important, the rulers that had influence, positions within Judaism. And yet, none of those people were on the invite list. None of them. And God could have invited people from the Roman arena, Herod and the Romans and the Greeks and the military and all of those people. Were they invited to the birth? No. Only one group of people were invited to the birth. And so probably many people, their nose was put out of joint. And you know, looking back, they probably thought, why were we not invited? And yet, who did God invite? And he only invited one group of people, the shepherds. It wasn't the magi. They actually came probably a year later. So sorry to disrupt your Christmas pageants or events or whatever, but it was the shepherds that came. And the shepherds are a very interesting group of people. And they were out in the fields. The angels came. They were taking care of their sheep. The angel appeared and told them. They were terrified. And the angel said, don't be afraid. There's good news. Go find a baby in a manger. And they were invited. which is amazing. And they went, they obeyed, and then they went home telling everybody about what had happened. But it really is the most ridiculous thing to do. Because think about the shepherds. You often find like a picture of a nice, clean shepherd with a sheep carrying it. But actually, they were poor. They worked for others. Hard work. They were with animals. They were smelly. They weren't allowed to act as witnesses if there was a court case. As a class, they had a bad reputation of being lawless and dishonest. They were probably illiterate. They were ritually impure. They couldn't go to the temple. Which is ironic because they raised the sheep that were needed for the sacrifices. The sheep that they were looking after had more value than they did as human beings, which is really upside down. And it made me think, who are modern day shepherds for us? Who are the people that feel on the outside of society, who don't feel valued? And we've already been thinking about older people, lonely people, people who don't get invited anywhere. My wife's really hospitable, and she has this way of thinking about hospitality that it's not just inviting your friends, it's inviting the stranger. It's inviting the people who can't invite you back, and to try and find ways of doing that in our home. And in the Jewish rabbis' writings of the first century, there were no positive mentions of shepherds. They really were not valued. And yet they were the only guests that God chose to come to the birth of a child. And it really shows God's heart for those on the margins. And I don't know, you know, can you imagine in a modern maternity ward, these dirty shepherds with the dirty sheep, smelly, coming in. The only thing missing here is like a manger. I love that little detail. You know, the shepherds, well, they hadn't a clue what was going on. And yet the angels say, go and find a baby in a manger. And say, ah, we know that. We've got that. A little hook there. Let's search for all the animal troughs and we'll find a baby. Isn't that brilliant? You know, God is so kind in the way he does it. And it's interesting because as I began to think about shepherds in the Bible, how prominent it is when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and even God himself identifies as a shepherd. And I had this lovely image of a nice shepherd with a nice sheep, and yet God is identifying as a dirty, smelly job that has no value in society, that is really a marginalized and outcast. And there's something brilliant in that. So shepherds, who are the shepherds around us in this area, in the cities around us, in the towns, the villages of this area? The other group of people were the Magi, or astrologers, and they came up one, maybe 2 years later, because Herod made sure that everyone under two, the boys, were killed. And Mary and Joseph were in their own home. They came on a 900-mile journey, which probably took about 6 to 8 weeks. And where did they come from? Well, probably away over in modern-day Iran or maybe Iraq. Nobody's quite sure. They weren't kings. They really were more like advisors to the king who studied the stars and tried to make sense of what was happening to give advice to their ruler. And there's an interesting guy called Mark Kidger, who's an agnostic. He's not a follower of Jesus, but he's open, and he wrote a very interesting book called The Star of Bethlehem. And he's an astronomer, and he looked, using modern science, at what was going on before Jesus was born. We know Jesus wasn't born in 0 AD. Or 0 BC, I don't know, what's the difference? Anyway, he was probably born before that, a few years before that. So what was going on at that time? And this guy, Mark, says, well, look, there was a comet. Halley's Comet comes every 75 to 76 years. And in 12 BC, there was Halley's Comet. And that was a sign to these astrologers way over in Babylon, because they looked at the skies. They thought, this is a sign a new king is going to be born. But it wasn't just that. Saturn, Jupiter, and Pisces converge every 845 years. And that happened 3 times in 7 BC. So again, these astronomers would be thinking, what is going on here? Jupiter means royalty. Saturn can mean Sabbath, something to do with the Jews. What's going on with the Jews away over there? And so they would have thought, maybe there's a new king being born in the area where the Jews lived. Then there is Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. They line up every 20 years, and that's a sign of a king. Mars is a sign of war, so some kind of disruption. And Aries was a sign of Saturn. And this happened, these planets aligned up in 6 BC. So again, they would be thinking, what is going on? We're getting a whole load of stuff happening in the stars. A lunar eclipse of Jupiter is very frequent, but very rarely seen. It happens every 12 to 14 months. But in 6 BC, that happened twice, and it was visible. Supernovas are seen by the naked eye every 500 years. But in 5 BC, there was a supernova that was seen for 70 days. So again, all of these things happening around that time, people who studied the stars would think, there's something crazy going on. We need to figure out what this is. And so when they do arrive, what do they say? Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star or his sign in the east and have come to worship him. And they brought gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, myrrh. We don't know how many wise men or how many magi there were, but they brought these prophetic gifts to talk about kingship with gold. Frankincense was used for the priests, and myrrh, is that, am I saying it right? Myrrh, was used for sometimes in death as well. And they brought these gifts, probably not even realizing the significance of what they were doing. And the weird thing about all of this, I don't know how many of you, when you're thinking all this stuff in the stars, you're thinking astrology, you know, the back page of the newspaper and all that kind of stuff. And there are loads of warnings in the Bible against magic, against occult, against divination, all of those sorts of things. And yet, God seems to use this. He seems to reward seekers, people who are looking for truth, even with their limited knowledge, coming from Babylon, and he sees their heart, and he sees the nations. And it made me think about the stars, and again, I felt God just saying, they're mine. All these stars, you're looking at it from the earth and thinking, God, no, that can't be right, and this is wrong, they shouldn't be doing it. And God's just smiling and saying, the stars are mine. They're mine. I put them there for a reason. And in the Psalms, in Psalm 19, it says, they declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. They proclaim his work. They pour forth speech. They reveal knowledge. And a funny little verse, verse 3. Well, actually, they don't have any speech. They don't use words. No sound is heard from them. But then their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And God seemed to be saying, you know what? I just love people who are hungry, and I want them to find truth. And so as I was thinking about, you know, a vulnerable baby visited by the marginalized shepherds, and these strange people from a different religion, a different part of the world coming, how it's just, don't lose the wonder of all of that. And I was thinking about this month. December can be a crazy month for many people. How many of you feel the pressure already? Yeah, cars are driving faster. It's difficult, isn't it? But it made me think, in this busy month, let's pause. Let's enjoy the wonder of coming as a baby, inviting shepherds, and honoring wise people who are seeking. And it made me think, I don't know how many of you in this room, you are famous, you're on TV a lot, you're consulted and all that for various things by government, whatever, or whether most of you feel just, I'm an ordinary person, an ordinary person. And if you do feel like you're an ordinary person, God is just smiling and saying, yeah, you are. Just like Mary and Joseph, just like the shepherds, I'm just like these guys, I'm interested in you, you're special. And it made me think too about the people that we're going to see this month, like the older people who are lonely, who are shut in, people who are maybe on the streets, people who are asylum seekers, people who are guest workers, people who are students. We're going to see all kinds of people like that throughout this month, and certainly in Belfast, and I'm sure you will too. But it also made me think, I felt God saying, the people are there, but you may not see them. And I thought, why? And I just thought, for me anyway, God saying, take out your earbuds, put away your phone, and just look. Look at any room, look at any bus, look at any plane, look at where you are, and just see and imagine, how do I see those people? Maybe some of them are searching. Maybe some of them have questions. Maybe some of them are lonely. And just maybe we can be a light, salt, hope, peace to the people around us as we go through this month. So I hope and pray that as we all navigate this month, that we can be a real blessing and see people the way God sees them. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you came as a baby. Thank you that you invited ordinary people to the birth, the most amazing event in human history until that time. Thank you for your heart for the nations, for people all over the world who are searching, who are seeking for you. And may we be a blessing to all those that we come across. Help us to open our eyes and look and see who you want us to talk to, encourage, get alongside for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Trevor. What a rich look, familiar story. I want to encourage you, just maybe, we could just take a moment actually. Is there anybody that the Spirit of God wants to bring to mind who's marginalized, who's on the edges? Maybe somebody that you're going to see at Food for Thought tomorrow or at work. Maybe somebody in your family that you could reach out to. I love that thought. Take out your earbuds, put your phone just a couple of meters away and look around. Could we do that now? Trevor's already prayed it. But I'm just wondering if the Holy Spirit wants to bring a specific person to mind. Yeah. Amen.